Chapter 3. The tour of the Nautilus began in Nemo's library. It had many big shelves that were filled with books. In the middle of the library, there was a big table that had magazines and old newspapers covering it. I walked around the library and looked at all of the books. I was very impressed by the number of books that he had. "There are 12,000 books in my library, and they are all here for you to read," Nemo told me. The library wasn't just for reading, though. It was also the smoking room. Nemo handed me a cigar made of seaweed to smoke. After we had our cigars, Nemo took me to the next room. It was like a museum. It was full of paintings by the old masters, and even some newer paintings that were just as beautiful. There were stacks of music scores by the great composers as well. But this wasn't just a museum of art. There were lots of pieces of natural history in his museum too. There were cases filled with rare specimens that had been taken from the sea from around the world. There were corals, shells, shellfish, and plenty of pearls. It was a priceless collection of things, but as much as I liked seeing all these beautiful things, I wanted to know how the Nautilus worked. I asked Nemo if he could tell me, so Nemo took me to his cabin and sat me down to tell me about it. There were plenty of instruments on the wall of Nemo's cabin. Those instruments helped him to keep track of how the submarine was doing. The whole ship was powered by electricity, but it wasn't an ordinary type of electricity. Nemo made his electricity from sodium that came from coal, that he mined from underwater coal mines. The electricity the sodium created powered everything on the submarine. It made it move, it powered the lights, and it kept the air flowing. After he finished telling me about the electricity and showing me the instruments on the wall of his cabin, he took me to the center of the ship. He showed me the lifeboat for the submarine. It was attached to the submarine by a cord, so that if Nemo wanted to use the boat on the surface, he could go back to the submarine afterwards. He showed me where the kitchen and the bathroom were, and then he took me to the engine room. I couldn't believe what I saw. It was so complicated that I couldn't begin to understand how it all worked. But I desperately wanted to know how the submarine was steered, and how Nemo made it move about so easily. Nemo didn't tell me how it worked in the engine room. He took me to the sitting room to explain it all to me. He told me that the glow we saw from the deck of the Abraham Lincoln came from the cockpit of the Nautilus. It was like a lighthouse that used a reflector to make the light of a ship even brighter. What happened to the Scotia? You put a hole in the side of the ship and made her sink. Was that an accident? I asked. Yes, it was, Nemo admitted. What about the Abraham Lincoln? I asked. I was being attacked. I had to defend myself. I didn't sink the ship. I just made it so that it couldn't attack me anymore, Nemo said. I asked him more questions about how the Nautilus worked, and he told me everything I wanted to know. It didn't have anything that it would hit. It could survive any storm by going underwater, and the electricity that ran it would never run out. I thought how clever Nemo was to build a submarine like this and keep it secret. Nemo was very proud of the Nautilus, and it was very clear that he loved his ship. How did you build it in secret? I asked. It was easy. I got many different companies to make different parts of the submarine, and I ordered them under different names so that no one would know they were coming to me. I took all the parts to my desert island to build the ship, and then burned the workshop down. There were no traces of it left when I had finished building the submarine, Nemo told me. Then you must be a very rich man to do all this, I said. I am rich enough that I could pay off the national debt of France if I wanted to, Nemo said. I couldn't believe it. I went to my cabin to think about it all. Most of the world was covered in water. There were seven seas, and now I was in a submarine under the surface of one of them. There are the Arctic Ocean, the North Atlantic Ocean, the South Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the North Pacific Ocean, the South Pacific Ocean, and the Southern Ocean. We were in the Pacific Ocean, which was the most peaceful of all the oceans. We were starting our journey together with Captain Nemo, so he called to me and took the Nautilus to the surface. We stood on a platform and marked the exact location of the submarine on a map. On the surface of the water, the only thing I could see was the ocean stretching out for miles in every direction. We were 300 miles away from the coast of Japan. It was the 8th of November, 1867, and time for our journey to begin. The submarine went down beneath the water, and Nemo left me to do whatever I wanted on his ship. I spent the first few hours trying to work out who Nemo really was. I wondered if he was a madman looking for revenge, or a genius that had been thrown out of society because he was misunderstood. There was no way I could know unless Nemo told me who he was, so I gave up trying to work it out. Instead, I went to look at a huge map on the table where we had marked our position. The map said we were traveling along the Black River. It was one of the five main ocean currents. I hadn't seen Ned or Conseil since we had been set free from the cell, but the two of them found me looking at the map. They had been looking around the ship and were very impressed by the museum. I told Ned everything that Nemo had told me about the Nautilus. "I wonder how big the crew is. They might all be electric like the rest of the ship," Ned joked. "Why do you want to know about the crew?" I asked. "I wonder if we would be able to take over the submarine with just three of us," Ned said. "Ned, we can't take over the ship. We're going on a journey around the world." "Just think of everything we'll see," I said, trying to calm Ned down. Ned didn't understand how we would see anything stuck inside the submarine with no windows to look out of. Suddenly, all the lights went out and there was a sliding sound. The steel panels on the sides of the rooms were sliding back and two large pieces of glass lit up so that we could see outside of the submarine. We could see everything under the water for miles on both sides of the boat. As I looked out of the glass, I could understand why Nemo liked living on the submarine under the sea. Ned couldn't believe everything that he was seeing. He wanted to know what all the different fish were. Conseil and Ned began to talk about the fish. Neither of them knew very much about fish, but they were both very excited. We watched the fish for 2 hours. Ned started to name them all. The lights in the submarine came back on, and the steel panels slid back into place. I waited for Captain Nemo to come to see us, but he never came. Ned and Conseil went back to their cabins to eat dinner. I went back to my own cabin to eat alone and spend the rest of the day writing about what I had seen. I slept for 12 hours and woke up when Conseil came in to talk to me. I was too distracted by thoughts about Captain Nemo to talk to Conseil. I wanted to see Nemo again to talk to him. I got dressed into my sealskin suit and went to look at all the things in the museum. I spent the whole day in the museum but didn't see any sign of Nemo. I didn't see him the next day either. Instead, I spent the day with Ned and Conseil. We didn't do much but talk and eat. I was worried about Nemo was, but it was nice to spend time with Ned and Conseil. The next day, the Nautilus was on the surface of the water. The air that was flowing through the submarine was fresh and cool. I went to the platform to look around. The sea was flat and grey, but there were no signs of Captain Nemo. The pilot and an officer with a telescope were on the deck. Neither of the men spoke French, only the strange language of the submarine. Every 5 days the same thing happened, but I still hadn't seen Captain Nemo. On the 16th of November, 1867, I found a letter in my cabin from Nemo. It was inviting me to go hunting in the forests of Crespo Island. Ned and Conseil were invited to go too. I thought that Crespo Island must be an island that belonged to Captain Nemo. When I told Ned and Conseil about the hunting trip, Ned was surprised to hear that Nemo left the submarine and went on to land. Ned, Conseil and I went to the big map to look for Crespo Island and found that it was a tiny place that was 1,800 miles from where we had first started our journey. Our hunting trip wasn't until the next day. When I woke up, the Nautilus had stopped moving and Nemo was waiting for me in the museum. Nemo asked if I was ready to go on our hunting trip, but he didn't mention where he had been for the last week. Now, you should know that the forests we are going to are underwater, And we are going to hunt on foot, Nemo told me. I was so shocked that I didn't know what to say. All I could think was that Nemo must be a madman. Nemo told me that he had created special suits that we could wear that let us walk about under the water, and had lights on them. He also had guns that shot electricity instead of bullets. I was so excited about seeing the suits that I barely ate anything at breakfast. Ned, Nemo, Conseil and I went to change into the special suits after we had finished breakfast. There were at least 12 of them in the changing room. Ned was terrified of wearing the suits and refused to come hunting underwater. Conseil wasn't scared, though. It didn't take long for us to put on the yellow rubber suits and heavy lead boots. When we were in the yellow suits, we put on the helmets. They were round bubbles made of copper that had round windows in front for us to look out of and lights on the top of them. We each had a gun too. We were ready to go hunting, but the boots were so heavy that we couldn't walk in them. Ned was out of the room and the door to it was locked. The next thing I knew was that the room was filling with water and the side of the submarine opened so that we could step out onto the ocean floor. In the water, the boots were much lighter to walk in. Nemo, Conseil and I were with another sailor from the Nautilus on our hunting trip. We walked for an hour and a half along the bottom of the sea. There were shells and rocks that were beautiful to look at. And there were jellyfish swimming over our heads. We walked through a field of seaweed and then Nemo stopped us and pointed at a shadow area in front of us. We had reached the forests of Crespo Island.